Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
We're also joined on a regular basis by 49ers quarterback C.J. Beathard.
Being the backup quarterback, you've got to prepare as if you are the guy because you're a play away from being in there.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Today, Steve Bitker from KCBS fills in for Steve Bono, but first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America, and that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Well, joining us today, we have traded one Steve for another. Steve Bono on vacation, and Steve Bitker from KCBS joins us here on 49ers Extra. Steve, thanks a lot for coming on with us today.
Glad to help out, although Bono's a much better quarterback than I am.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the 49ers are searching for quarterbacks, so you might be pressed into action the way things are going right now. And we'll start with that. I mean, C.J. Beathard hurt his wrist in the game against Arizona. I mean, he's been taking a punishment. He was sacked four times in that game. And now there's the possibility that Nick Mullins will be named the starter on Thursday against the Raiders. And I don't know how ready he is for this opportunity, but, the 49ers are just kind of strapped right now at that position.
What have they got to lose?
Right.
I mean, let's take a look at him. C.J. Beathard is tough. Everyone agrees about that. That's why his teammates love him and respect him. But he's not, I think you would agree, he's not a starting NFL quarterback, caliber-wise, talent-wise. He's got too many holes in his game, and he's 1-9 as a starting quarterback in two seasons with the 49ers. And, I think he's been, I know this season in five starts, he's been sacked 18 times. He's turned the ball over 10 times. And just watching games myself, I keep coming back to the fact that he doesn't check off receivers well. He doesn't have great field vision, whether it comes to looking off his primary receiver or dealing with a pass rush around him. I respect the hell out of him, but, you know, when Garoppolo went down at the end of that third game against Kansas City, I think I felt just observing what most Niner fans felt like, and that was that the season was over. I mean, you hope week to week that they can show something. They've lost three of their seven games by 3 points or less, I believe, but still, last Sunday was a game they should have won, and they pretty much gave it away in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, it was similar to what happened in the Packers game, although that game featured a lot of offense, and you had a sort of a feel-good feeling about the offense in that game. This game, they once again blew a lead in the fourth quarter, but this was a low-scoring game, low-yardage game. I mean, the 49ers had under 100 yards there near the end of the first half. I don't know what they finished with, but that was terrible, and they only had 267 total yards in the game. So you're just not going to win many games when you only score 15 points. So you have to put it on the offense a little bit in this game, right?
Yeah, you do. I mean, especially because, as I recall, when they were up 15-3, I'm not sure if this was late third quarter or early fourth, they got a first and goal at the four-yard line. And if you get it in the end zone then, you pretty much put the game away, and they couldn't do it. I guess it was 12-3 at the time.
Right.
So they kicked the field goal to make it 15-3. If they get a touchdown, you know, it's 18-3 or it's 20-3 if they go for the 2 points. In any case, it's a three-score difference, and they probably hang on. But as soon as they didn't get it in from 4 yards out to kick a field goal, then you realize it's a two-possession lead, and Arizona comes right down and scores. And the pass rush, which has been an Achilles for this team all season long, you know, they had three sacks in the first half, one of them by Richard Sherman, But in those last two drives, I didn't see a single blitz, which is what I was sort of crying out for watching it, because I thought you got a rookie quarterback making his, first NFL start?
No, he had started. Rosen had started before. In fact, he beat the 49ers the first time around, so yeah.
Rosen started that game as well?
Yeah, he did. I mean, I don't know how many starts he had before that, but, you know, he's relatively green.
Relatively green, and I think, you know, you put pressure on him with a blitz and force him to get rid of the ball before he wants to. You know, maybe he takes advantage of that blitz and finds somebody wide open, but maybe he also makes a mistake. Maybe he turns it over. Maybe you sack him. As it was, it looked like the classic prevent defense where, you know, you're giving 10 and 15-yard chunks away play by play by play, and they just move it down the field, and the ending seemed inevitable to me. And you just hope, watching, that they leave the Niners with enough time to at least come down and tie it up with a field goal, but they score with some 30 seconds left, and it was all over. It wasn't a pretty way to finish.
No, and you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that about a blitz and picking it up and maybe coming up with a big play, because that was the situation for the 49ers, you know, when C.J. Beathard had a blitz coming at him, and he launched one for Marquise Goodwin, and that could have been a touchdown, but he just didn't throw it deep enough. I mean, he didn't lead him enough. And you've got Patrick Peterson, who's an all-pro cornerback, you know, defending on that play, and he deflects it, and he made a really nice play on it. But it sometimes it just comes down to one play, Steve, where if you make the pass there, you lead him enough, you've got a speedster like Goodwin, you're going to score a touchdown. That was about midway through the fourth quarter, and you could put that game away, but it just didn't happen.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one thing that's heartening is there doesn't seem to be an outcry by fans and most members of the media, save the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. One particular writer whose father I know very, very well, I'm kind of stunned at the father-son anti-Shanahan movement.
The Cohen family we're talking about here.
It's incredible. I don't know what's going on. I keep thinking about getting hold of Lowell and asking, what the hell are you doing? But otherwise you don't see this outcry for Shanahan that, you know, they need to move on, his job is in jeopardy and all this other nonsense, because everybody realizes he not only lost his franchise quarterback, but he lost the number one running back that they went out and got as a free agent, McKinnon, and they've had tons of injuries to what was left over after that. The defensive backfield and the linebackers and the old line's been hit, and you know, it's really tough to win games when you've been decimated like that.
49ers Extra with Steve Bitker filling in for Steve Bono continues right after this. There's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit tpc.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park.
Well, the quarterback position is so important. I mean, there was a stat that was put out there by Eric Branch in the San Francisco Chronicle that I really noted. The fact that the 49ers are 3-0 in games decided by 3 points or fewer the last couple of years with Jimmy Garoppolo as a quarterback. And when he's not in there, they're 0-8 in those games. And, you know, this is the kind of game you should win. The Green Bay game you should have won. Those are games that you should be able to put away. I mean, you know, this game, I'm just sitting there. I watched it on DVR, Steve. I already knew the 49ers lost. And I'm like, wait, how did they lose this? How is this possible? They're up by 12 points mid fourth quarter. I'm just shaking my head. There's no way they lost this game. And you know, when they have the ball with about 4 minutes to go, and you know that they have to run the ball, and they've got to use the clock, and they've got to get some first downs, and they just don't do it. I mean, they just don't get those first downs. So you could blame the defense all you want for giving up those touchdowns near the end of the game, but you've got to get some first downs there and just put the game away.
You had chances to do it on both ends, and as you say, they didn't get it done. And you get back to Garoppolo, and I have little doubt if Garoppolo plays, they win those two games against Arizona. They probably win some other games as well. I mean, we knew going into the season that even with Garoppolo, there were holes elsewhere on this team. But as you say, a great quarterback can make up for deficiencies elsewhere, and it's not happening now.
No, and what you mentioned about Beathard, I mean, it felt to me like he sort of regressed a little bit. I thought he played really well in that Packers game on that Monday night. I mean, to me, he was making pretty good decisions. He was getting rid of the ball quicker. And now the last couple of games, he's not doing that. Like you said, with the progressions, he's kind of hanging on to the ball too long, which is a cardinal sin. That's when you're going to get sacked. He doesn't seem to know exactly where he wants to go with it. I don't know that he has a lot of confidence in his receivers. But for Marquise Goodwin to have one catch, which was a great one. I mean, that was the touchdown for 55 yards. But that's it in the game. That's a crying shame. I mean, there's got to be a way to get him the ball more often.
Yeah, get him the ball more often. You know, Taylor's not involved much in the offense. Garcon's got the shoulder and the knee injuries. They really miss him. I mean, Beathard depended a lot on Garcon last season. So I was looking forward to seeing Garoppolo with Garcon, but you know, when Garoppolo starred toward the second half of last season, Garcon was out with an injury. And, you know, we didn't get to see much of the two of them together early this season as well.
Let's hear a little bit from head coach Kyle Shanahan. He talked about Nick Mullins, who might be the starter on Thursday against the Raiders, and what he did in the preseason.
I thought he played well in the preseason. You know, he did good. Nick comes in there, moves the chains, competes hard, made some plays with his legs and his arm. Guys believe in him, and he's as competitive and confident as a guy I've been around. And if he needs to play this week, he'll be on it.
All right, well, we'll see what happens if he does play. But, you know, this guy's got to be nervous to come into this game. He came out of Southern Miss. He hasn't played in the NFL in the regular season at all. To come in there all of a sudden on national TV on a Thursday night, granted it's the Raiders and they're having a terrible season as well, but I can only imagine how nervous he will be for this start if it happens.
Yeah, maybe nervous, but he's got to be really excited too. And I believe Shanahan also said today that if they were playing Sunday, Beathard would likely play, but the fact that it's Thursday night, I dare say most fans would love to see Mullins in there, you know, give him a shot. Again, what do you got to lose? It's a great opportunity for him to play, and, you know, it's a team that's also got one win. In fact, these two teams, I learned today, you look at their combined record of 2-13, that is a 154 winning percentage, which I don't know whether you know this or not, Joe. It is the lowest combined winning percentage in primetime television history.
Wow.
For a game starting November the 1st or later. Because obviously if you look at games early in the season, you know, you're going to have teams that are winless. But once you get into November, records are more solidified and the records mean something. And so starting in November or later, a combined record of 154 has never been seen in a primetime telecast. I mean, I hope Fox knows about this because they can hype it.
Well, I mean, if it was NBC on Sunday night, they would have flexed out of it, but they can't flex out of this game. There's no flexing on this one, so we end up with it.
I know, it's so funny. Fox is hyping it by saying, you know, it's the battle for Bay Area bragging rights. Yeah, like, our team's crappy, but yours is crappier. That's kind of what it is.
I can't believe this is going to be on display, but, you know,
You know what? The funny thing is, though, it could be a great game. I mean, you know, you just never know what's going to happen. You could see a lot of scoring and a back-and-forth affair, a very entertaining game for the throngs of Niner and Raider fans at Levi Stadium. I hope that's what we see.
Well, you know what's funny, too, about this, Steve, is that these two coaches are safe. I mean, you mentioned, you know, criticism of Shanahan, but he's got a 6-year contract, and John Gruden's got $100 million, you know, so they're not going anywhere. These guys were hired to stay for the long haul, so they're not going to get fired, and they got to figure things out and figure a way to turn it around. And I know that the draft picks from last year, the top four picks for the 49ers, they're not producing as well as anybody would like. You know, Solomon Thomas has been a disappointment. Reuben Foster has been in and out of the lineup because of injuries. Witherspoon, I mean, seems like he's been getting burned a lot. And C.J. Beathard was one of those picks, too. So those top picks from last year, it's been disappointing.
You forgot Joe Williams, the number four pick. He's gone.
Yeah, he's not even there. So the guys who are here are disappointing. But, yeah, he's not even on the team anymore, right?
Yeah. Well, and the difference of the two coaches, I mean, you say they've got job security, but one is under fire from the fan base, and the other one is not. So that's a big difference.
That is a big difference. So, well, I mean, this is a game where, I mean, the 49ers have to be feeling, you know, you look down on paper and you say,
you know, we should be able to at least be in this game again. And then you got to close it out. And that's where, you know, I saw this one story about how, you know, the 49ers need a closer, sort of like in baseball. And maybe that's it. I mean, you know, is it if it's the quarterback? Yeah. But also on defense, it doesn't seem like they have the one guy who's going to step up. I mean, you looked at Richard Sherman and you thought, okay, how does he step up? And Larry Fitzgerald burned him on that one play. Fitzgerald was a closer, right, in that game.
And it looked to me like Sherman was playing too soft. I mean, he was giving up. I mean, they all were. You know, he was giving up 10, 15, 20 yards on those out patterns. And I just thought, man, why are you guys playing like this? You know, you're just giving him first down after first down after first down. There's probably nothing a fan detests more than when his team falls back on a prevent defense.
No, yeah, it prevents you
it
from winning.
It never works.
Right, it prevents you from winning.
Usually what happens, for sure.
And then, I mean, at the very end of the game, you still have a chance to tie the game. I mean, you're at the 45. Basically, Steve, you need another 10 yards,
right,
and you've got a really good kicker, and you
right,
can do it.
Right, and with 7 seconds to go, there's time to do a quick out and get you closer. You don't have to throw the Hail Mary. Instead, the center hikes it over Beathard's head. I mean, it was...
They had a timeout. I mean, they could have thrown the ball over the middle and still timeout. And
they still had one. They
just
still had one left,
time.
Right?
Yeah, they had one timeout left. You still had enough time. The only thing that would prevent it is just, you know, a sack, bad snap like that, or you know, just a terrible play.
You know that
all
old
you need
line?
Is a little play.
You know that old line? What could possibly go wrong? I was at the gym watching, and when he snapped it over Beathard's head, I just yelled out, 49ers football! And there was this... There was this laughter surrounding me. I don't know why I said it. It just came out.
Oh, it's just disappointing right now.
I guess it was because it was a metaphor for the whole season. You know, whatever can go wrong will go wrong. But what a way to end it. I don't know that I've ever seen that before.
No, I don't think I've seen a game end like that either.
Could be the last play. We're looking for the Hail Mary. What's going to happen? Oh, my God. Not
that's
that.
It. What so? What are not only the 49ers, but maybe if you want to look at the Raiders, what are these teams looking at the rest of the year? I mean, what's going to satisfy them? You know, get some wins, or you know, get some people healthy, or what's the goal here? You think down the the second half of the season?
Don't suck too badly.
Right.
I think the immediate goal is to win this game on Thursday. You know, take some of the heat off your team and get it on the other guys across the bay. So. It'll be a really spirited game. I mean, it could be a dud, and it could be exciting. I hope it's the latter, but both of these teams have way too many holes. It's a funny thing. The one thing they both have that they're thrilled with is they have two great starting tight ends, Kittle and Cook.
Oh, Kittle's great. Yeah,
Cook
he's had a really
too.
Good
he's
year.
Cook's a wonderful
year. Those are the bright spots. I mean, for me, I think the 49ers need to just concentrate on not embarrassing themselves. That snap was embarrassing. You know, the other play that was embarrassing, they didn't lose the fumble, but I don't know if you saw Pettis on the return, on a punt return.
Didn't
the ball,
see that, but
oh,
I read about it.
It just clanked off his helmet. It was awful. It looked like he couldn't even see it, and I thought, wait a minute, this is the son of Gary Pettis, who was a great center fielder, remember, in baseball, and then his son is like, you know, just looked like he had no clue trying to catch that ball.
Which surprised me because he was a great returner at Washington. You know, you could always depend upon him. So,
well,
I realize it's a different level.
Hopefully things can change for the 49ers. Steve, thanks a lot for the time and filling in for Steve Bono. Really appreciate it.
Anytime, Joe.
That's Steve Bitker from KCBS. Steve Bono will be back next week as we'll talk about the 49ers' Thursday night game against the Oakland Raiders. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.